Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. Ephesians 4, 7. You know, I think sometimes we generalize spiritual things. You say things like, God's given you grace, but you don't really know what that means. Like, what is it? What did he give you as far as grace? And that's what Paul describes here in the next few verses we're going to read, is specifics about what God gives, and they're, for lack of a better word, he uses the word measure, so they are just measurements of grace and what God does. And so he's very specific about it, and I'll show you the word shows up several times here in the next few verses, but let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. All right, skip down to verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto, here's the word again, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the, here's the word again, in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. A lot of verses there, but the theme, the thought through all of that are the measurements of grace that God's taken in order to benefit the souls of men and to redeem and to help people. So let's pray, and then we will talk about these measurements of grace here. Father, thank you, first of all, Lord, for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your words. Lord, I thank you for everybody that's here this morning. I pray each soul would get what they need from you. pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit to say what needs to be said. And I pray for the teachers in the back, Lord, that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit to minister your words to the kids. And the kids would get what they need from you. And again, Lord, thank you for the privilege it is to be in the ministry. Thank you for the privilege it is to be with church family this morning. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. So, let's just try to specify what's meant in these measurements of grace and use a couple illustrations. Because the thing that Paul's discussing here, he's talked about unity. You know, we talked about that last week, getting along, you know, get along with each other, and unity in the body of Christ. Now he's going to talk about the things. Remember he said, well, last week, remember we read, he talks about one body, one Lord, one hope, one calling, all those one things. Now he's going to talk about things that aren't one, such as spiritual gifts. There's not one gift. There's a diversity of them. And so how do you, where's the unity in all of that stuff, particularly, you know, not only the unity, but how does that help and how does that benefit and what's the working of God there and all that to build people up? So he measures this out. He says the first thing that he mentions in verse 7 about the measure of the gift of Christ. All right. Just trying to be specific. You know, if you were to build a house, and many of you have, if you were to build a house, you wouldn't say for instance, when you make an order for wood, I need wood. The question is, how much? What kind? Well, you know, what are you doing? So we know what is specific. What do you need? And I think we use spiritual terms like that very generally a lot of times. Well, God gave me grace. Okay, what does that mean? In what form did that come? How did that show up? So just being specific, one of the best examples of this, I think, is Noah. And I'll let you guys think about this and participate here a little bit so you guys can think. I know it. All right. The Bible says Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. Okay. What is it that Noah found that was specifically grace for the thing he was getting ready to go through? What did he find? Approval. I mean, there's a very specific thing that God gave him. How did he give him survival? He gave him blueprints for an ark. That's grace. He said, all right, Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. And what did Noah find? Well, Noah found blueprints to an ark that would survive a worldwide flood. That's grace. Now, the faith that we mentioned it before. So grace is the supply God makes. God gave blueprints. All right, here, Noah, here is the grace. Here's my blueprints. You go by that, you will survive and your family will survive. The faith exercise. Now those blueprints could just sit on a table somewhere. They don't have to be used. Faith is activating or putting to work God's supply. We read it in Ephesians 2. He says, by grace are you saved through faith. Here's the blueprints. Now build the ark. Here's my supply to you. Now put it to use. And that is what when you get to Ephesians chapter 4, there's some very specific things God does in giving grace. And he gives it in measurements. He gives it just like those blueprints that he gave Noah. It's very specific. And those gifts of grace, those opportunities there, can either sit on a table or they can be exercised. And it can be used for your benefit. So three times he mentions the measure of the gift of Christ, or the measure of this grace. And so let's just think about these things as we go through them. First thing about measurements of grace here, I mentioned it to you. And before we deal with the verse, one more thing about this, or a couple more things about this. You know, grace in your life, and grace in my life, and grace in the diversity of people's lives. You guys face different things. You've had different issues and problems and things like that. And I got different problems, all that kind of stuff. But the deal is, have you ever watched somebody, for instance, go through something that you thought, I don't know how anyone could survive that. Or I don't know how anyone could survive that faithful through that. Well, the reason you and I don't know is because we haven't experienced it, and God has needed to give us that kind of grace to go through it. For instance, it takes a certain grace to he'll mention pastors, evangelists, all that. It takes a certain grace to be a missionary. You deal with all kinds of stuff that a pastor has no idea you got to deal with, or an evangelist. And it takes a certain grace to be a missionary. It takes a certain grace to be an evangelist. It takes a certain grace to be a mom. It takes a certain grace to be a dad. It takes a specific measure of grace to do those things. And they're all diverse things. And they're all different things. What's interesting is you've heard this verse preached so many times. Remember when Paul is dealing with that thorn in the flesh, and he prays, he asks God to take it away. God doesn't take it away, and he says this. Remember what he said? My grace is sufficient. And I've never heard anyone preach on that sufficiency. He didn't say it's more than needed. He didn't say it's overabounding. He said it's just specific to the task. You're dealing with this, and my grace is sufficient. You know, if you say something's sufficient, that means it's enough to deal with what you're doing. It's not more than you need. It's not over exceeding, like Paul said earlier in Ephesians, describing God's thoughts and things like that, exceeding abundantly above all grace. It's sufficient grace. You got what you need, and now you deal with what you got to deal with the grace I've given you. And so I've never really heard anyone preach on sufficiency like that, but it's a very specific word to deal with. You know, if I say you got something sufficient, I'm saying you got enough. Go along with what you got. So the point is, grace is specific, and it's measured by the task at hand. It's measured by the infirmity at hand. It's measured by the specific things you're going through. An interesting proverb that goes along with this thought. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7. I'll just read it to you. He says, "Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." Point is, don't give me too little, don't give me too much, just what I need. Otherwise, I'm out of balance. And I'm either going to be ungrateful or I'm going to be desperate. I just need sufficiency. I need something in balance here. And this ought to help you, hopefully it'll help you in your prayer life. You know, in Hebrews, he says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I go to the store, I don't pick up wood, I pick up a certain amount of it. I pick up a certain kind of it. I don't need a whole store of it, I just need what I need for the job. You know, that's the idea. You ask the Lord, and this is going to go to, you know, understanding what he wants you to do, all those kinds of things. But when you go before the throne, it's like, all right, the king has everything anybody could need, but you're not doing everything, you're just doing something. And you just need the specifics to your task there. All right, so I think you understand the concept here. So let's look at how God measures out grace in the body of Christ. How does he do this? All right, so he says in verse 7, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." All right, he's going to describe the gifts in a couple verses. But like we said earlier, you've got, for instance, well, let's just look at them. According to the grace given, the gift, look in verse 11. "He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." All right, I don't want to say the way that's typically read, but God's giving, if you just read it the way it's written there, God's giving people apostles. He sent Peter, James, and John, for instance, as apostles to people as a gift from himself. Those people were there to lead folks in Jerusalem in the right direction, lead Israel. The Bible says he gave some apostles. Not that he made some apostles, but he gave the people the apostles. Understand? Does that make sense? He gave them apostles. That was the gift God had given him. He gave them apostles. For instance, here's the apostles. The apostles are at Jerusalem. They were the gifts to the people. You know, we Gentiles were given an apostle too. We have the apostle Paul, and all of our doctrine comes from the apostle Paul. He's the gift to the Gentiles, for instance. I mean, just a way of thinking of it. He's the apostolic gift to the Gentiles, to us. So we come on Sunday, here we are 2,000 years later, still reading from what Paul wrote down, because he is the gift, and we all get together, we enjoy fellowship, we watch people get saved, we enjoy time together, you go out and minister the words of God, because we're reading from somebody who God gave to Gentiles. He gave some apostles. Make sense? I mean, it's not that he made them apostles. He's not talking about the gift of apostleship. He's talking about the office that he gave to the people. The people were given that gift. He gave some prophets. After Jesus Christ resurrects, you've got some prophets in the book of Acts. I'll give you one example of a prophet, a guy named Agabus. Agabus is in Acts chapter 21. I think he's in Acts chapter 16 too. Agabus is a prophet, and he tells Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Paul shows up, and Agabus where Agabus is, and Agabus tells Paul, whosoever's girdle this is or garment this is. He wraps it up and does something with it, and he says he'll be carried off to Rome, or carried off to in chains, basically. And he's warning Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Remember, Paul is dedicated to going back to Jerusalem and trying to get his people saved. His heart is there. That's where he wants to. He wants the folks in Jerusalem to get saved. He wants his people to get saved. So God gives Paul a warning sign and says, don't go back. I'll take care of it. You don't need to go back. That's a gift. That's a warning sign along the way so you don't fall into the ditch. And so he sends Agabus, and Agabus tells Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Paul ends up saying, I'm going to Jerusalem. And you read for the next few chapters here, Paul bounced around through courts, in prison, and for the most part, unnecessarily. He doesn't need to be there. And there's not any fruit born in his life for several years. He's bounced around, and he goes before Felix and those other guys, the governors, and he's not bearing any fruit. And he just kind of has lost 3 or 4 years of his ministry. Because he didn't heed the gift that God had given him. Here's a prophet. This prophet's been given as a warning sign to Paul. And I'm just using an example here. But the point is, God gives, the people are the gifts. And they're the gifts to the people. The apostles were the gifts to the people. The prophets were the gifts to the people. Evangelists. Here's Acts chapter 8. And an Ethiopian man who's come from Ethiopia, he's the secretary of treasury there, and he's been watching folks get baptized. He's been seeing the revival there in Jerusalem. And he has some questions, but he doesn't know what he's reading. He's got the scriptures, but he doesn't know what he's reading about. And so God sends Philip. Philip's an evangelist. God sends Philip over to the Ethiopian man, and Philip says, well, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I except some man guide me? And so he just takes him through the scriptures and guides him and shows him and exposes and reveals Jesus Christ to him, and that man gets saved. Philip is a gift to that man. He helped that man. And so all these, and then you deal with pastors. Pastors are gifts to the people. And all these offices, he gave some apostles, that's talking about how God ministers himself to the people, how God administers the Holy Spirit, I guess, or his gifts to the people. He gives some people apostles, he gave some prophets, he gave some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And the point was to perfect the saints, the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body. All right? So, I hope you understand that. That's the idea. The gifts are the people God gives, and the gifts are going to be among the people God gives. All right. Look in verse 13. Well, verse 12, he describes why he's doing it. Like I said, the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. And then look in verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So how is grace measured now? It's measured by the stature of Jesus Christ. All right? So that work, you read it in verse 12 there. That's positively speaking, perfecting the saints, the work of the ministry, edifying of the body of Christ. It's measured by the fullness of Christ, negatively speaking, in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Negatively speaking is verse 14. All right, so you're not tossed around like a rudderless boat. You can be stable, and that's how you're going to grow. I cannot tell you how many times, and you guys have probably observed it too. You know, folks get caught up in other doctrines. They get caught up in stuff they shouldn't get caught up in when they start getting out of church. Put it this way, I say out of church. When you stop getting around God's people and you start spending more time with other people or just spending your time away from God's people, what happens is inevitably, you start getting tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. There's no stability in that. The point is, God's gift of grace is this: us getting together. The way God organized it is a gift of God. You can't get this at Walmart. I mean, you can't go to HEB and get this. But in this setting, the way God set it up, you get ministered to spiritually the way you need to, and it stabilizes you and keeps you a level head. It encourages you, and it ministers and feeds you the way it needs to feed you. And that's why so many times, you know, I encourage folks to be at church, and I know you guys do too. You encourage them to be at church, and it's frustrating sometimes because I'll give you an example. Here you are, we're preaching through. Here's a preacher. He preaches on, I don't know, some topic. Marriage. Just say marriage. That's a big one. Preaches on marriage. Okay. And somebody having trouble in their marriage, they don't want to show up. They don't want to learn anything from the Bible, but they need some special help for some reason. It's like, you know, all of this stuff is being addressed already. It's being addressed when we get together, when there's preaching and teaching going on. These things are not making yourself a part of it, and you're not availing yourself of the grace God's given you. Therefore, you're having unnecessary trouble. The point is, this is the setup, is God's grace at work. That's the measure of the grace. It's first the people God gives to other people, and then it's the organization, the structure God gives. This whole thing is a measure of God's grace. We can't do this anywhere else. There's no other structure like this on the face of the earth. There's nothing else like this. There's no way you can get fed. There's no way you can nourish. There's no way you can get the spiritual nutrients you need so that you're not tossed back and forth all over the place and living an unfruitful, unproductive Christian life. And so the point is, grace, when we say grace, or measures of grace, it's specific to the task, specific to the infirmity, and it comes in the form of, in Noah's case, blueprints. It comes in the form of a local church. It comes in the form of evangelists, prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers. It comes in the form of us getting together and fellowshipping, and that is the structure God set up as His grace to His own people. So it's measured by the fullness of the stature of Christ. Here we are getting together. The point is, he's going to describe the fitly joined together and all that stuff. But what you're avoiding is in verse 14, you're no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. You get some stability to you. You get to plant your feet firmly in the ground and start to grow. So it's measured by the fullness of the stature of Christ. He's trying to bring us all up. Jesus Christ is he's the model. He's what we're all being growing towards when the Lord's growing us. He's cutting off the pieces that don't look like Jesus Christ. And so it's measured by the fullness of the stature of Christ. And then along those lines, what we're just talking about, the gift being us getting together, being the body. He mentions it in verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The measure of every part. So every part has a place. And it's measured out. And not everyone does everything. There's no one. Jesus Christ is the whole thing. He's the whole deal. But not every one of us can do the whole part. And we're not supposed to do the whole part. But we're supposed to know our part. We're supposed to do our part. And we're supposed to fit in with others doing their part. And the Lord works that together. It's measured by every part. Think of it this way. If you're not joined together with the body, you'll not be able to grow up into Him in all things. You won't be able to grow the way you're supposed to grow. You can't do it. Why? Because He sets up a certain way. Think of it this way. Maybe this will be easier to think of it. If God gave Noah some blueprints, and Noah said, you know, I like what you've done, but I think I can do it a different way. You know what you don't read about? You wouldn't read about Noah. There's no Noah. You can't do it a different way. You do it God's way. If you're not joined together, you'll not grow up into Him in all things. You won't be able to grow. You're more susceptible to being tossed to and fro. You'll miss. And here's another thing. You'll miss what He says there, what every joint supplieth. All of you guys supply something to the body of Christ. And if you're not around to get it, you don't get what everyone's supplying. Furthermore, you're not supplying anything if you're not joined. You're out there. You're a dismembered member, whatever you call it. You're dismembered. You're separated from the life. It's measured by every part. The grace is measured by every part. Now, and your specific part, God gives you grace to deal with your specific part, whatever that is. I'll tell you what, when I've learned a lot, and I'm still learning a ton about ministry, obviously. But when I got out of the oil field, for instance, when I was in the oil field pastoring, this has only been 9 months now. But I learned a lot about God's grace and how He supplies for the need. I could not, in my own mind, reconcile having the job I had and pastoring a church at the same time. I couldn't reconcile. I didn't know how it could ever be done. And maybe it wasn't done. I don't know. Maybe the last year wasn't. I couldn't reconcile it. But what I've learned from the Lord, He supplies the grace. He supplies the need as it's needed. If there's a need for the job at hand, He'll supply for the need. And then I noticed getting out of the oil field, some things got taken away. There are some things that aren't needed anymore. And so I'm trying to learn now how to adjust things and all that. But the point is, there was very specific grace, not only among people, but even in your own life. There's different areas and seasons and times and things you deal with, and different needs along the way. And it's measured specifically out, and it's sufficient. And that grace, the point of that grace is to avoid, just to make it real cut and dry here, the point of God's grace, going back to Noah, the point of God's grace is to avoid being on the wrong side of God's judgment. The point of God's grace is to give you blueprints, to give you something that keeps you from being tossed to and fro. It even uses the illustration. Tossed to and fro in the water. You're just splashing around. You're getting beat up by all the waves. So he gives you grace in order to meet the need that he has for you, the task at hand, the infirmity, the job he has for you in the body of Christ. And that grace is to keep you, and it's the way, I guess you could put it this way, it's the blueprint to keep you away from the judgment of God, to keep you outside or inside the boat, so to speak. So it's measured out. Three things where he mentions the grace of God, measured. It's measured, measure of the gift of Christ, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and the measure of every part. All right, so it's according to the gifts. Jesus Christ is the whole thing, measured that way, and then measured out to every part. So, and all the others, we could really deal with each and every verse individually, but I want you to get the big idea about what he's saying, the measurements. What does grace look like in action? How can you measure it? It's not just you go to the store and you say, you know, I need nails. Well, how many do you need? How many boxes? What are you doing? What are you trying to produce? What are you trying to build? Because that will determine what you need, how much of it you need, what kind you need. It's very specific to the job at hand that God has for you. It's not just a general, you know, well, God shed his grace. Well, he did. In what form did that show up? That show up as in a local church. I remember when, after I got saved and was trying to figure out a call to preach and trying to figure out, you know, this Bible issue, and I didn't even know there was a Bible issue until I found out there's missing verses in my NIV, and it freaked me out. And I'm trying to figure out, does anyone else even care about this issue? Does anyone else even care about this? And I found someone on the radio, and coming to this church back in the 90s was God's grace. It was the opportunity to now be part of something where people believe the Bible and were going in the same direction, and it ministered to me and it helped me. And I know that there are, you guys all have probably similar stories. You're out in the world, you get saved, and now you need a home. You need somewhere where you can grow a little bit, get some spiritual nourishment, and you can't get it from sitting at the house. You have to be with other people. You got to hear preaching and teaching. You got to be around the people of God, and that's how you get nourished. And it is the grace of God specifically to that task at hand. He's trying to help you not be tossed to and fro, not beat up with the world, but get some things straight. And so three descriptions, I guess, of the measurements of grace. But hopefully that is, at least in your mind, maybe concreting or making specific some things that may have been vague, because he's very specific about what that grace is and what form it comes in, what it looks like. It isn't just a vague statement of, well, God's grace is, you know, all that, and it's very specific to what God's grace actually is. And then the other part of that is the faith part of it. He says, by grace are you saved through faith. Grace is the provision God makes, and then faith is the application of that provision. It's you putting the thing to work. God makes the provision there for the task at hand, and you either put it to work or leave the blueprints on the table. And so it's, you know, hopefully that specifies things for you. And since we got a little time, do you guys have any questions or comments or thoughts or anything about that? Gary?
Verse 9 and 10. Why do they put that in front of you? Why does it get that way?
All right, so he's describing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If anything that's in parentheses is a description, or I mean, just in the, it's a a description, but it's more, yeah, explanation, that's the word I'm thinking of. It's an explanation.
Did Paul put that in there, or did somebody add that?
No, Paul wrote that. I think it's a cross-reference from a verse in Proverbs, but it describes, you know, the death, burial, and resurrection. So Jesus Christ goes down, and specifically to those verses, remember when he tells the apostles to wait in Jerusalem till I send my Spirit. And so he tells them to wait, and so what he's doing, whatever workings are going on in heaven, he's gone down into the earth, he's come out, then he ascends in Acts chapter 1, and then in Acts chapter 2, he sends his Holy Spirit, and there you go, in verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captives, and he gave gifts unto men. He sent his Holy Spirit, and that was the gift, or that would be the gifts that would be distributed among the men. And so the parentheses are an explanation of him going down into hell, coming back up, and then when he goes up, he sends the Holy Spirit and distributes out his gifts to men after that. So it's no longer just his body working the work of God. Now he's putting himself into a bunch of people to do that work. Yes, it's an explanation of how this whole transaction took place. Hope that answers that. Anything else? Any other questions? Thoughts, concerns, complaints? All right. All right, well, I hope that is helpful to you. I learned a lot putting it together. I hope it's helpful to you guys. Father, thank you so much for your words. I pray this has been helpful to see really the specifics and the practical side of your grace and how it's administered. And I pray, Lord, that we would make use of your grace and apply it through faith. Lord, thank you for everybody that's here. I pray you'd minister to each soul and help the kids in the back, help the teachers, everybody get what they need from you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.